Hello, I'm Lauren Fates, and why doesn't Julia have bangs? Should I get bangs?
And I'm Jamie Sanchez, who's super pleased that Alex Hassel did not miss Arm Day.
Are you ready for the beat?
I'm ready for the beat.
Guess what, bounty hunters? It's another surprise mini-episode. I think it's just because Netflix has been putting out so much promo material. We have The Lost Session, we have a trailer, we have teasers, photos. There's so much to talk about, so we decided to hang out for a little bit. How are you, Jamie? How was the streaming event that I missed?
I gotta say, I'm not super big on streaming events and all that kind of like big convention hype you get. I'm glad they kept it to a short 30 minutes, but in those 30 minutes, it was really cool to see Daniela and John talk about just some really cool things about the show. There were some Easter eggs they were kind of going over. John himself was wearing Elba City merch, which was like actual set pieces from the show. And so like, I want these things. I want the mug that's like, take me to Elba City. They had some like artificial unlocks. So as the stream got bigger, we were supposed to believe that like, oh, we've achieved something through watching this and sharing it with our friends. And again, I'm not a big person on like that hype stuff, but I could tell Netflix was putting a lot into the presentation of this, making sure that it felt like something to celebrate.
Yes, for those of you who are listening at home and maybe only saw the trailer on YouTube or saw it on your subreddit of choice, Netflix did a whole live streaming event sort of counting down to the trailer. I missed it. I had a doctor appointment right at that time, but I was really excited when I came back and heard Jamie talking about Elba City. Jamie, why is it interesting and important to see Elba City?
There is a moment in one of these teasers where there's a character that looks a lot like Elektra. And my theory is they're either going to be weaving in some of Knocking on Heaven's Door, or alternatively, they're actually going to be setting a lot more of the action in Elba City. We don't know where the Bebop actually lands all the time when it's sitting in the bay. It could be Tharsis, it could be Elba. No one explicitly makes these connections for us. But it is likely that they will be placing all of this action into a named city.
I definitely wouldn't be surprised if we see several nods to Knocking on Heaven's Door, though I don't know how deep they'll go. I think it would be pretty intense to bring, like, a Vincent in while Vicious is still so freshly on screen. But we have seen that picture of John Cho in the headphones. And those headphones are definitely from the beginning of the movie. They're taking at least some inspiration from there for sure.
Oh, definitely. I was hoping that, you know, maybe Linda will finally make an appearance from the manga.
Our favorite, Linda.
I love Linda. She's an icon. On this show, we rep Linda hardcore.
All right. I got ahead of myself because I was really excited to hear about the streaming event that I missed. I was being selfish, but maybe we should actually talk about these things in chronological order because things were revealed a certain way. When we got on the mic last, we had seen the opening sequence, which may be the title of the actual show when it comes out, or they might edit it, we'll see. But I think the first thing we need to talk about is the Lost Session, correct?
Yes, that was technically our first teaser right after the opening. I personally felt that this had some really great editing, and it almost felt like a pilot. Did you get that sense, Lauren?
Yeah, I would say it felt kind of like a proof of concept. What I really enjoyed about it was seeing the relationship between these characters, how they talked to one another, how they treated one another. It was really our first chance to see them move and hear the voice work that they were doing. I was happy for it. I think it was a nice choice in terms of marketing. I did find the editing very frenetic. As fun as it is to do the like comic book style colorful panels and playing with shapes, it really, I think, was a little self-indulgent. My other main criticism of it was that you could tell it was kind of small. John and Daniela, they're sort of pointing their guns off screen and Jet's going, that's not the bounty, but there's not actually anyone there. So it felt a little bit like a theater play instead of maybe a TV show or film. That said, it did get me more excited about the show than I had been before. I was so happy to see some choreography. I was so happy to see the world. I think it did its job.
I would agree with you on the set smallness, so to speak. To date, what we've seen, I've not been a fan of any of the characters' run cycles. And this teaser kind of struck me a little cringy to start, but it did kind of fall into its own. There was a pace and an energy that really reminded me again of Scott Pilgrim.
Me too. I really liked the energy. I really liked the coloration. They're clearly going for a high sense of style. One question this did leave me with was, will Yoko Kanno create any new music for Netflix's Cowboy Bebop? Up until this point, there was so much tank, so many nostalgic needle drops, I wasn't sure. But apparently we get there, so we'll talk about that in a minute.
As for the title Lost Session, we're supposed to get this impression that, like, oh, this really could have been a Cowboy Bebop episode that we just weren't privy to. But nothing else really details it. It really just is a teaser overall. And it does set the stage for the quips and the tension between our main cast that I was enjoying.
The title does make sense because it sort of puts us in media res, like these characters already know each other, they're already working together, so this would have to be a quote-unquote lost session from sometime in the middle of the show. I personally didn't think that we would, like, get Faye that quickly. You know, if we're not going to see Ed until maybe the end of season one, if at all, I was kind of hoping for a slow burn on Faye, but she's already there.
So we got this lost episode, and then a week later, they announced the streaming event was going to happen. Tune in at a specific time. There wasn't much detail as to the agenda of the event. But about 25 minutes in, they actually did drop the trailer, and then they showed it again. They're like, hey, you love this so much, we gotta show it twice. I don't know if I could only sit there for two. I needed to watch it 8 more times until I could fully comprehend what I had just watched.
That is very Comic Con, though. Like, if we were in a huge convention hall at our local C2E2 or something like that, you would want to watch it twice because that first time everybody would be screaming and very physically reacting. So a second go under those circumstances would make sense. But yeah, when we're at home, I did. I did watch it many more times, quietly, by myself, pausing.
So I'm going to break the ice here. Quote, I go by Spike Spiegel these days. What is that about? What's going on here, Lauren?
Yeah, this trailer was so interesting to me because I really thought I wanted new material and new stories. And the first new thing I saw, I was like, oh no, I'm wincing. I hate this. Give me the old hits, because Spike Spiegel as an alias is very bizarre. I did see someone on Reddit give a theory that I like. I can't take credit for it. I didn't come up with this. But Spike Spiegel could be his real name, and he was going by an alias before, and maybe he's revealing now that he just uses Spike now, his real name. But either way, there is some alias-related plotline that was not there before. Spike hasn't always been Spike.
We have been told that there will be a prequel novel, which you can pre-order currently, that ties into the Netflix adaptation and is canon to this specific story. So whatever name they use in the novel itself will probably clarify that for us. But I can't imagine Spike Spiegel not being named Spike Spiegel. This is just upsetting to me.
It did feel like kind of an ad for the book. Like, do you want to know what I mean by that? Buy the merch.
I guess I will.
So there were a lot of things that I liked. I really enjoyed seeing more images of the world. The environment looks really cool. I keep expressing my fears that I'm afraid this is going to be sound stagey. And when they really open it up and show space or the city, I just love it. I think it's beautiful. I also really like the ships. I think, you know, within the budget shows a little bit around the edges, but I think the Bebop looks cute. I really like the look of the swordfish. It's completely accurate. It's everything I wanted from the swordfish too. And then regarding ships, I really enjoyed Jet's relationship with the Bebop. He just seems to love flying it. He puts his little sunglasses on. He has his Beware of the Dog bumper sticker. And then when the sunshades don't come down, like so many old cars, he has to go and hit it with his fist. And I was like, yes, this is what I wanted to see. Just Dad Jet trying to work on the family car, trying to keep it going.
In true Bebop fashion, during subsequent rewatches of this trailer, I noticed that like some of the lights on the exterior of the ship were also like subtly flickering. Like, not everything's working on this ship, obviously. This is just a big pile of metal flying through the sky somehow, but Jet undoubtedly loves every inch of it. I would agree with you that the world feels far more comprehensive in this look. I think some of the atmospheres are a little challenging for me. They feel like they maybe have too much like atmospheric perspective effects attached to them, whereas like maybe the craters look like they're very humid or foggy at times. That seems to be the general take of action shows nowadays, though. I don't really think we can get away from that kind of textural element in modern action just because it's such the norm now. But that is a personal complaint. I would appreciate a little bit more real, tangible feeling to these atmospheres and cities.
They do seem to be going kind of cartoony. Like, if we're in a hot desert area, we put a yellow filter on it. And if we're out in space, we put a blue filter on it. That's very literal. But if they're trying to make it feel comic booky or like animation, I kind of get it. Also, shout out to the Hot Julia flashbacks. I was really excited to see some like PG-13 related Julia moments. Very good. Hits me in the right way.
I would love to plug the new song we got to listen to. I'm pretty certain this is a Hallmark Yoko Kanno track. We're destined to hear more of it. I'm really excited. That's really where most of my energy was going when I watched this. But on the downside of things, I would say this trailer didn't need to be 2 minutes and 30 seconds. It could have benefited from like tighter editing. I think we could have foregone some of the vicious stuff. And overall, everything they gave us left me with the impression that this is like an alternate reality or a remix of what we know and love. Not a great feeling.
I do agree that it was pretty slow. I have to imagine that that's a marketing choice, like a purely marketing choice. If they say we're going to do 30 minutes of faux Comic-Con hype before this, it better be longer because you made us sit for a really long time. But especially that part where whatever happens, happens scrolls by, it actually felt like that scene might have been slowed down to accommodate the words scrolling by in just the way they wanted them to. There's a point where I'm like, okay, I get it. You want to show me all my favorite quotes. You want to play me all my favorite songs. But I'm sold. You can stop.
I wasn't super jazzed about what we've seen so far until the teaser trailer number 2, which we just saw today as of airing. So this teaser is taking a song we know and love, one of the faster tunes that has all the really big jazz energy, and essentially making a music video out of it. Everything moves with the beat. The cuts are really sharp. It's got a lot of like film noir throwback. We see more of Jet in his suit, which I personally adore. It has that action feel. We see guns, we see fighting. They're really straight to the point. There's no need to belabor Spike's past right now at this point. I think this would really work as a general populist trailer. This is the one that has all the energy I had expected of a Cowboy Bebop trailer. Like, why didn't they lead with this one?
Yeah, my favorite shot from this teaser is the, like, coin getting flipped up in the air and then Spike doing a really awesome, like, backflip kick and shooting that coin right into somebody's face. It's just the, like, slick, fun combat accuracy that I expect from that character. And that's, you know, maybe I just have the mind of an ape or a monkey watching this right now, but that's what I want to see. Just like, oh, I love backflip, do a flip. The other thing I really enjoyed about this was that it uses sort of the imagery of Tank, the silhouette, the singular colors, but it does its own editing with it. It plays with it instead of doing Tank just like shot for shot, literally. That is what I want to see from the Netflix Cowboy Bebop in general, is pay homage, give us those Easter eggs, but still make something that fits in this medium. You don't have to give me a shot-for-shot remake, because if I wanted shot-for-shot, I would just watch the anime. One of the things I think about a lot as, you know, sort of an artist myself, whenever there's a story to tell, you have to ask yourself, why is this story in this medium? Why is this a podcast instead of a book that we wrote or a YouTube series that we did? We made a choice. And so if Netflix is going to make a choice to do a live action 10-episode show, I really hope they do editing, cinematography that fits with this medium. And this one did it.
Speaking of making choices, we got to see some new photos. And I was particularly struck with Vicious without a shirt. What's going on here?
And with a gun.
And with a gun! I'm so conflicted. Like, one, okay, what are you doing to Vicious? My boy, I'm sorry. But two, Alex Hassel, he could get it. Like, I don't know what's going on here. I'm having very conflicting feelings and emotions right now.
There's a story that I think was told by Chris Evans himself when he was doing one of the Avengers movies, where he's like stretched holding two airplanes together, or an airplane and a tank. I don't even remember, but he's stretched out in this action scene. And he says he asked if he could do it with his shirt off just because he wanted to, like, take people to the gun show. And Marvel told him no. But whoever's in charge of Cowboy Bebop told Alex Hassel yes.
I'm going to watch this with a little bit of trepidation. I appreciate things that they're bringing to the world. I noticed that Faye's jacket has some interesting, like, hexagonal patterns on the back. It's made of leather. We notice things like the texture of the metal on Jet's arm, and things like clothing creases. Like, it really brings a lot to make our characters come to life. However, I agree with you. I don't want to watch 10 hours of pandering. I don't want the regurgitation of stories we've already seen wholesale. I think that there is a lot of opportunity for the show to grow into its own. We actually do have some newer characters listed, names like Chalmers we've never seen before in the credits. So I am trying to go into this with fresh eyes, knowing it is my favorite show of all time, but also not be too irritated by things like, oh, wow, you could really tell that's wire work and it's not really holistically done, or hey, that's not the thing they would have said in this scenario. Like, I'm so attached to the material, and trying to distance myself from it has become a challenge.
Yeah, so 2 points related to what you just said. One, I do feel myself becoming a stickler for the details, and I don't want to be that kind of fan. Like, Julia doesn't have bangs, and I love that anime Julia has bangs. And Vicious's hair in all of the trailers looks very white, but then in the poster, it looks more silver. And I felt myself being like, ooh, finally they got the hair right. As if that matters. Like, those aren't actually the details that matter. It's whether or not the product as a sum of its parts is good. Because you can find tiny things wrong all you want, and you're going to. But is the whole good? And that's what I'm excited for.
And it's not like the anime wasn't without its faults either. On the show, we've belabored the point that some of the interpretations wouldn't really fit in 2021 or 2022. We've talked about how corgis are upwards 30 pounds and can't fit in briefcases and be thrown around like a bag of rice. Like, it's silly to me that we have to say, like, oh, the anime is the anime and this live action show is its own thing. Like, let's appreciate and honor those mediums as they are. But man, the discourse right now online is getting real heated.
It is. So the other point I was going to make kind of ties in with what you're saying, and that is, if something is too lofty or too aspirational to be done, I hope they just don't touch it. Seeing, like, Pierrot Le Fou clearly suspended on wires, it did have me go, uh-oh. Are they doing Pierrot Le Fou because they just know it's iconic and they feel like they have to? Because if they sort of do their best, but their best is just not that great on a Netflix TV budget, I really would have rather they left it to history. part of my concern does come from the reaction of fan communities, specifically like the darker parts of fan communities. There's so little available to us right now, even though we've seen a lot of imagery. There are people making comments about whole plot arcs or whole character portrayals when the evidence just doesn't exist to get that analytical yet. Something that infuriates me personally about a lot of online discourse is that very rarely do people go back and fess up that they were wrong. There are very few opportunities to go back and apologize. And so if people are all up in arms and say things that maybe they will come to regret later, you can already hurt someone's feelings, whether that's someone who created this show, because those folks are on the internet, they are reading these critiques, or just someone, you know, who really enjoys it. I would hate to be someone who loves every second of these trailers and like wants to go talk about it in a fan community and then just get attacked. Not everyone's doing that. Not everyone is. There's also a lot of people who are really excited, but it does feel like you have to be ready for some advanced debate if you want to participate in these talks.
I don't quite remember where I read this point, but it was very salient to me. The folks who worked on the show have given at least 3 years of their life to it. And that's what, if they're in their 30s, that's 10% of their lifespan. You know, that's pretty generous. No one's on the show making something that they hope you'll hate. So I'm going into this watch through and subsequent watch throughs with as much optimism as I could possibly muster, knowing I'm just as critical as everyone else out there.
Agreed. And here on our podcast platform that we've built for ourselves, we are very privileged in that the things we will say will be heard by people and taken into consideration. And even just because of that responsibility, as much as we've shared our opinions today, I'm still really trying to wait. It might be cliche, but whatever happens, happens.
As an aside, it really irks me that the same people who tattoo whatever happens, happens on their skin are the same people who are willing to debate a point for 2 hours.
I just imagine them adding to the tattoo, like, whatever happens, happens, but I don't have to like it. Well, bounty hunters, that's all we have to say for now. At the time of this recording, it's just before Halloween. We hope you have a wonderful, spooky time. There might be more trailers, more images, more things that come out between now and when you see us again, but you will probably hear from us after the Netflix launch. We're going to binge it, we're going to watch it as quickly as possible, and come back to bring you more episodes of The Bebop Beat.
Until then, please tune in on Instagram and on Twitter, where we're going to continue to post everything we possibly can about all the feelings we're having.
Yes, you won't miss our feelings. You just have to find them somewhere else. See you later, everybody.
So long.
Thank you for listening to The Bebop Beat. If you like our show, please rate us on Apple or wherever you find your podcasts. Find us on Instagram and Twitter at Bebop Beat. Our email address is bebopbeatpodcast@gmail.com.
The Bebop Beat is hosted and produced by Jamie Sanchez and Lauren Fates. Our editor and associate producer is Angela Geis. Our logo and art assets are by Kat Janda.